Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Nartrees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. The Anarchy by William Dalrymple is a sweeping narrative history of how a private trading corporation, the English East India Company, transformed into a territorial power and helped remake the Indian subcontinent. Focusing on the turbulent period from the waning authority of the Mughal Empire to the consolidation of company rule, Dalrymple traces the interplay of commerce, diplomacy, warfare, and opportunism that enabled merchants to become rulers. The book situates famous turning points alongside lesser-known episodes and figures, presenting the rise of company influence as neither inevitable nor orderly but shaped by contingency, internal rivalries, and shifting alliances among Indian states and European competitors. Written for general readers as well as history enthusiasts, it explores the consequences of corporate power operating at imperial scale, including the extraction of wealth, the creation of new administrative systems, and the destabilization of existing political arrangements. The result is an accessible account of early modern globalization with modern resonances. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, from trading outposts to political ambition, a central theme is the company's evolution from a commercial enterprise into a force that could negotiate, intimidate, and eventually dictate political outcomes. Dalrymple emphasizes that the East India Company did not begin with a clear plan of conquest. It started as a shareholder-driven organization seeking access to Asian markets, operating through factories and coastal settlements secured by permissions and payments. Over time, the logic of protecting trade pushed the company into building fortifications, maintaining armed forces, and entering local power struggles. As European rivals competed for influence, and as Indian polities sought allies against one another, the company found opportunities to trade military support for political concessions. The book highlights how financial incentives, private enrichment, and the interests of officials on the ground could pull policy beyond what distant directors intended. This topic also underscores the role of information networks, diplomacy, and patronage in turning merchants into kingmakers. The transformation is portrayed as incremental and improvised, shaped by personalities and crises as much as by strategy. The broader implication is a cautionary story about how commerce, security, and ambition can merge, creating institutions that wield power far beyond their original mandate. Secondly, the fragmentation of Mughal authority and a new political map. Dalrymple situates the company's ascent within the decline of centralized Mughal power and the rise of regional states. Rather than presenting the Mughal Empire as simply collapsing, the narrative explores how authority became contested and decentralized, opening space for provincial rulers, military entrepreneurs, and ambitious courts to assert autonomy. The book pays attention to the complexity of Indian politics in the 18th century, shifting coalitions, court intrigues, succession disputes, and the constant balancing of legitimacy and force. In this environment, European companies were not external masters from the outset, but one set of actors among many, often dependent on local permissions, financiers, and intermediaries. Dalrymple shows how the company learned to navigate this landscape, exploiting disagreements among Indian elites and presenting itself as a useful partner. The changing political map also meant that revenue systems, military recruitment, and regional identities became more prominent, which the company later leveraged when it began to administer territory. This topic helps readers understand that the company's rise was enabled by a highly dynamic subcontinent, not by a simple binary of European versus Indian power. It also frames the era as one of intense innovation in governance and warfare, with consequences that shaped the modern state system in South Asia. Thirdly, war, finance, and the mechanics of corporate conquest. The book connects military success to financial systems, arguing that conquest depended as much on money as on muskets. Dalrymple describes an emerging political economy in which revenue rights, banking networks, and credit were crucial to sustaining armies and buying allegiance. The company's ability to mobilize capital, combined with its growing control over taxation and customs, created a feedback loop. Territorial gains increased revenues, which funded more troops, which enabled further expansion. Dalrymple also foregrounds the blurred line between official policy and personal profit, where officials could amass fortunes through contracts, monopolies, and influence, while the company itself pursued dividends and market dominance. This topic examines how warfare could be outsourced, financed, and rationalized through corporate structures, making violence a business model. It also highlights the vulnerabilities of that model. Corruption, factionalism, and speculative risk could destabilize both company governance and local societies. By focusing on logistics, payrolls, supply chains, and negotiation, Dalrymple reveals conquest as a system rather than a single event. The modern resonance is clear without needing overt moralizing. When armed force is paired with revenue extraction and shareholder incentives, the results can be rapid expansion, brittle institutions, and severe social costs. Readers come away with a clearer sense of how empires are built in practice, through spreadsheets as well as sieges. Fourthly, key turning points and the reversal of fortunes. Dalrymple's narrative power lies in showing how quickly the balance of power could shift through a handful of decisive episodes. He treats major battles, contested successions, and diplomatic gambits as moments where contingency mattered and where misjudgments or lucky breaks changed the trajectory of entire regions. The book explores how the company moved from being expelled or constrained in certain contexts to becoming indispensable in others, often by intervening in disputes over rulership and revenue. These interventions could begin as limited engagements, but escalate as the company sought guarantees, reparations, or long-term administrative control. Dalrymple also examines the role of individual leaders, both Indian and company, whose decisions shaped alliances and escalated conflicts. The broader point is that empire was not an inevitable outcome of European superiority. It was produced by a chain of choices made under pressure, with incomplete information and competing incentives. By reconstructing these turning points, the book helps readers grasp how political legitimacy could be manufactured, how treaties could be weaponized, and how a corporate actor could present expansion as stability. This topic is especially useful for readers who want a narrative explanation for structural change. It shows how large transformations can hinge on specific crises and how local events can have global consequences. Lastly, Consequences, Extraction, Administration, and a New Imperial Order. The anarchy does not end with conquest alone. It considers what company rule meant once territory and revenue were in hand. Dalrymple outlines how the priorities of a profit-seeking corporation shaped governance, encouraging policies oriented around reliable income streams, enforceable contracts, and controllable populations. The book discusses the creation and adaptation of administrative practices that translated complex local realities into categories that could be taxed and regulated. It also examines how wealth flows shifted, including the movement of resources from India to Britain, and how this affected both societies. Dalrymple presents company rule as disruptive not only politically, but economically and culturally, as older systems of patronage and legitimacy were weakened and new elites rose within the company's framework. The narrative also suggests how these patterns laid groundwork for later imperial expansion and for debates about accountability, since corporate power could operate at a distance from public oversight while still exercising sovereign functions. This topic encourages readers to see empire as an institutional regime, paperwork, courts, land revenue, and coercion working together. It also invites reflection on the long afterlife of such arrangements, including how modern discussions of corporate influence, privatized power, and global inequality echo earlier imperial dynamics. In conclusion, this book is best suited for readers who want a vivid, research-driven account of how British power expanded in India before the era of formal crown rule. History enthusiasts, students of empire, and anyone interested in the intersection of capitalism and politics will find it especially rewarding. It can benefit a reader's life by sharpening their ability to recognize how large systems actually change, not through single causes, but through the interaction of money, institutions, personal incentives, and crisis decisions. Dalrymple's focus on contingency and complexity also builds historical humility, a useful antidote to simplistic narratives about destiny, decline, or superiority. Compared to many surveys of the British Empire or the Raj, the anarchy stands out for centering the East India Company as a corporate actor and for presenting Indian states and leaders as strategically engaged participants rather than background scenery. The writing is designed to carry readers through intricate events without losing the human stakes, making it more accessible than purely academic treatments while still offering depth. If you are choosing between broad imperial histories, this one is worth buying for its tight focus on a pivotal transition, its attention to finance and administration, and its timely relevance to questions about private power and public consequence. If you would like to support William Dalrymple, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.